5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
We're going to cause trouble. Scott Farrell is calling the shots from the sideline. We're going to make fun of people. We're going to hurt people's feelings. It's Farrell on the bench. I believe in whipped cream with everything. I mean, this would be the biggest upset for UNLV in like 20 years. They never win. When do they ever even come close to winning a football game? I cannot even fathom that they're leading Fresno State 14-3. I just can't wrap my arms around it. I really can't. All right, Mafia, Penn State and Villanova, the number's 30 and a hook at Happy Valley.
Yeah, Penn State by slaughter. I mean, in Happy Valley, Villanova, just a terrible team. Penn State, the only way they don't cover is if they give up at halftime and just play their backups the rest of the way.
Actually, Villanova's a really good team. They're undefeated, but you're probably right that they'll get whacked. Coastal Carolina, I don't even care. I'm sick of giving Coastal Carolina attention. I really am. I'm done with it. Colorado State and Iowa. Iowa's laying 23.5. I don't think Coastal Carolina should be ranked. How's that sound? Iowa laying 23.5 to Colorado State.
Oh, man. I mean, Colorado State's pretty bad. Iowa's good, but do they throw it around that much and win by that biggest, you know, margin? I think so, especially at home. I'm going to go with it. It's a lot too late for me for Iowa. I don't trust them that much usually, but they're pretty solid this year offensively, so I think they're going to take it.
A&M and Arkansas, Jerry's World. A&M's laying 5.
I just cannot trust that quarterback, that Calzada or whatever his name is in A&M until I see more. I know he got better in the second half against Colorado, but against a team like Arkansas, I know it's not actually in Arkansas, so that probably helps A&M, but they are just killing it right now. Their run game is awesome. You heard, you know, Jimbo Fisher just pretty much say how amazing this team is, you know, before the game happened a couple days ago. It's pretty much setting up excuses if they do lose. It just seems to be this the kind of game that A&M always loses so far in Fisher's career there, that they have the good ranking, they look great, everyone's like, oh, maybe this is the year they could take that next step, and then they lose to a team before they even get to Alabama. So I'm going to take Arkansas.
Clemson at NC State. Clemson's laying 10.
Normally, this would be a slam dunk for me, Clemson all the way. I don't feel great about it because of the way that they have played so far this year. And everyone's hyping up NC State. You know, weren't they ranked to start the season? People were talking about how they were going to be good this year. They're not, of course. They're, you know, 2-1's okay, but I still think
they're
that Clemson
good.
Is a better team. This has got to be the get right game for Clemson. If they don't cover 10, I mean, it's one thing if you're laying 25, 30, but 10 points against NC State, you should definitely cover that.
Iowa State at Baylor, they're laying 7. Iowa State.
I'm going to say Baylor covers. I mean, Iowa State let me down in that big game against Iowa. I think they're a better team. I think they have a good defense, but they're not a team that scores a lot of points. So why not see if Baylor can cover the touchdown?
Rutgers and Michigan in the big house. Michigan's landing 20 and a hook.
Man, I'm going to get burned by this because I'm not going to go with my instinct obviously is no way am I betting on Rutgers, but they have proven me wrong the last couple weeks. They've been pretty good. They've looked well so far this season. Michigan is beating people's ass, so I should go with Michigan. But I just think for some reason they're not going to cover that. I think that Rutgers is going to get the cover. They're not going to lose by 3 touchdowns. Probably lose by 2 touchdowns to 17 points. I don't think it's going to be 3 touchdowns.
Didn't they play triple overtime last year? I think they did. So maybe it'll be a good game again. All right, Auburn. We welcome our radio affiliate, SiriusXM, Mightier 1090 Sports Map Sports, by the way. Auburn's laying 27 to Georgia State.
Yeah, they're going to do that. I don't want to believe in them because I don't like that team. That they've been a letdown the last couple of years still. You know, had that game against Penn State that they stunk. I think that they're going to win, and they're probably going to cover because Georgia State's just terrible.
UCLA's at Stanford, laying 4.
UCLA's got to win this. I know Stanford had the nice win against USC, but we know USC is not the same team, obviously, as they're far from the USC days. UCLA, this is a game that they got to prove that, you know, people are giving them a lot of love early in the season after they beat LSU. They got to come here and prove this, you know, game right here and a win.
Tennessee and Florida. Florida's laying 19 in the swamp.
Lay it. Lay it. If Florida can hang with Alabama, they're going to destroy Tennessee at home because Tennessee has been a joke for years now.
Nebraska and Michigan State and East Lansing. Michigan State's laying 4.5.
I'm going to go Michigan State. They, you know, went on the road, had that nice win in Miami. They're still undefeated here. They didn't have a lot expected out of them coming into the season, but they, you know, had a nice start so far. Nebraska is just not in the same program as they were years ago. Another one that, you know, we're talking about where it's a long time since their glory days. I think Michigan State covers that.
I think that game's going to be better than expected. I think. And remember, I had Michigan State beating Miami on the road, but I just have this weird feeling Nebraska is going to be in that game. Kansas State and Oklahoma State in Stillwater. Oklahoma State's laying 5.5.
Man, it looks so weird to see Oklahoma State not ranked and Kansas State ranked. I mean, same record, but right now Kansas State is 25th team in the land. I know that doesn't mean much, but I'm going to roll with them because I just don't believe in Mike Gundy. He always loses the games that matter.
Alabama laying 45 to Southern Miss.
Lay it all day.
West Virginia and Oklahoma in Norman, and Oklahoma's laying 17.
I'll go West Virginia. I don't trust Oklahoma. They're not covering anything.
All right, so when we come back, we'll finish up the remaining big rank games, and then we'll get into the pro football, and then later, Jerry Hinnan.
Listen to Sports Grid.
You can always go downtown.
Hey, babe, you want to go out?
Scour the sidewalks, find a penny, and pick it up. Or you can get the winning edge
right here.
And you won't get Tomey.
This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
How do you beat UCLA? And then, you know, at the Rose Bowl, and then you're losing to UNLV. I mean, explain that to me. How is that even possible? I mean, this is the most unbelievable thing I've ever seen, seeing this team. Fresno State can't even get a first down against UNLV with 9 minutes left in the second quarter. They're getting their ass beat 14-3 by the worst team in the history of college football. All right, so Ohio State and Akron in Columbus, they're laying 48.5.
Take Akron, absolutely. I mean, they're going with their, you know, Stroud's an emergency option. I don't know what their backups are doing. This guy didn't look that great. I'm not going to trust them to put up 50 points on the backups. I'm going to go Akron.
North Carolina laying 13.5 at Georgia Tech in Atlanta at Bobby Dodd.
North Carolina should smoke them. I mean, this could be one of those ones that get caught up, but I just don't see it. I think Howell's playing a lot better now than he did against that Virginia Tech team. He needs to make up ground if he wants a Heisman or a top pick. I think North Carolina rolls.
South Florida's getting 23.5 at BYU.
It's a lot of points, but BYU's had a great start here, and I just don't know if I believe South Florida can go on the road, play that late game, and actually cover that. I'll go BYU.
And Arizona at Oregon in Eugene. Oregon's laying 29.
Yeah, lay it. I'll lay 31. I'll lay 33. There's no way Arizona's staying with them. They're terrible.
All right, so you didn't tell me what you think of the pro football games for this week. So let's see what you think of those. Here's UNLV running all the way down the field on Fresno. They are just gaining 30, 40 yards every time they run the ball. This game's clearly fixed. I've never seen anything like it. Fresno State, it's like they're drunk. I don't even know what I'm watching.
Fresno State's playing like Florida State.
Yeah, they're playing like Florida State, all right, but I can't even believe it. Saints and Patriots in Foxborough, New England's laying 3.
This one's so tough right now because you don't know who the Saints are, really. They were so good defensively, shutting down, you know, Green Bay and Aaron Rodgers in the first game, and slinging all over with Jameis. I mean, Jameis is Jameis, so I'm not surprised that you go from, like, 5 touchdowns to multiple interceptions the next game. That's just who he is. Against the Patriots, defense has looked, you know, solid the first couple games. I'm going to take a chance here. I'm going to take that Mac Jones plays it safe, does his little dink and dunks, and they move the field that way, and then Jameis makes some couple dumb mistakes against Belichick, and I'll take the Patriots to win that game.
The Bengals and Steelers in Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh's laying 3. Big Ben with the left pec injury. Deontay Washington is not playing in the game.
Yeah, this one is so tough there because it's not even just Big Ben. Like you said, the receiver Johnson's out. You got a lot of guys that are underperforming. Other guys that are banged up on that team. I mean, you got like half a dozen guys that were on the injury report that play big roles for that team. I don't think the Bengals are great this year, but they've been in games. And if the Steelers look anything like they did last week and then lose some of those guys, then I'm going to take Cincinnati. Sorry. I know you're not going to like it.
So I watched Deontay Johnson last week. He was the best player on the Steelers. And now he's injured too with the knee. So their offense is anemic. I couldn't even believe how bad they looked against the Raiders. Washington and the Bills in Buffalo. Buffalo's laying 7 now. It was 9 when it opened up. It's 7 now.
Now, I'm surprised that's dropped down. People are giving a little too much love to Heineke there, who is now not sponsored by Heineken, but sponsored by Bud Light. So he's got himself a beer deal, but the wrong beer. I don't think that's going to help him. I think he's going to need those beers after this game and that Bills defense. It's not going to be as bad as that 35-0 they just put on Miami, but still, the Bills are much better than Washington in that offense right now. I'll take Buffalo to cover at home.
How does Heineken not sponsor Heineke? That's amazing to me that they let Bud Light swoop in like that. It's embarrassing.
Yeah, they're European. They don't know about, you know, American football.
Bears and Browns in Cleveland. Cleveland's laying 7.5 against Justin Fields.
Yeah, this one's sketchy with how banged up the Browns are another team who has a bunch of injuries. Now, Mayfield is not the shoulder, you know, that he throws with, but still, who knows if he gets hit a couple times, if he stays in that game. OBJ's come back, but Landry's out. Fields, we don't know, you know, how much he knows or how good he's going to be, but we know he could make some plays happen out of nothing. So I think the Browns are going to win it. They're going to pound the ball as much as they can. But I think the Bears might cover. I'm with you on that. I know that's something you've talked about this week. I'll take Fields to cover. Why not?
All right, the Ravens are at Detroit. They're laying 7.5.
Unless Lamar Jackson is still on the toilet, Baltimore rolls and rolls big.
See, they said he might have had a little stomach virus, a little Rhea going.
Yeah.
The Colts and Titans in Smashville. Tennessee's laying 5.5. We all know the Carson Wentz ankle problems.
Yeah, jump on Tennessee before this becomes something over a touchdown by Sunday, I think, because, you know, even if he does play, if he doesn't play and you're going with Hundley and Eason as a combo package, that's just embarrassing. It might get up to 10. If he is in there, how long does he play before someone hits him and accidentally rolls on that on one of those ankles and he's out of the game? I'll take Tennessee all day.
One of the best games of the day, the Chargers and Chiefs at Arrowhead. Kansas City's laying 7.
Yeah, I think that could be a shootout. That could be a high-scoring game. So that 54.5 might be in jeopardy. I think I'm going to go with the Chargers, especially if somehow, you know, people jump on the Chiefs and over the next day and a half and that gets up and maybe you get an extra hook there. I like the Chargers to cover. I think it's going to be a close game. I mean, Kansas City hasn't covered in a while despite winning games.
The Falcons and Giants at MetLife. The Giants are winless. So are the Falcons. The Giants are laying 3.
I'd rather pay you not to watch the game than to pay on a bet. But I guess if you're going to say you have to pick one side, the Giants have looked better, at least in that game against Washington, than Atlanta's looked against anybody. Atlanta put up some offense last week against Tampa before Tampa pulled away with some defensive touchdowns, but still, I don't believe in them, especially on the road.
Cardinals and Jaguars in Jacksonville, Arizona's laying 7.5.
This is going to get ugly. I think this could be up, you know, you could put this at 9.5, and I'd still like Arizona to come in there on the road and beat Jacksonville. I don't care that they're going cross-country and have to play on the East Coast, you know, hours. I still think they're 10 times better than the Jaguars are or will be in the next 5 years.
Do you think your Jets can cover 10.5 in Denver?
Probably not. Probably Teddy Two Gloves is going to, you know, check them down all day and pick them apart like Mac Jones did last week and pull away in the second half, because they're going to leave their defense out there way too long. They're going to make stupid mistakes against a good defense up a mile high, and they're probably going to get rolled again.
How come, I mean, Robert Saleh, that's it? This is the best he's got going? He can't do anything right? Like, he's a new coach, and this is what you're getting, this football team that's anemic?
I think there's definitely a lot of holes that they had to fill, and they filled some of them, but they're still working on others. The offensive line was better last week, but looked terrible in week one. And I think right now you got to, you know, get the kid to make the right play and not just try to make a big play every time like you did at BYU. And, you know, you also have the combination of first-time head coach, you know, rookie head coach, rookie offensive coordinator calling plays, and rookie quarterback. They all got to go through their growing pains early on.
Dolphins, Raiders in Vegas. Vegas laying 3.5.
I don't know why this line hasn't jumped up huge once Tua was out and Brissett was in. I mean, not that Tua's played great, but the Raiders should destroy them in this game.
Bucks, Rams are getting 1.5.
I'm going Rams. I don't know why they're getting it home. I know Tampa's the defending champ. I know they've looked good, but Rams have looked incredible the first 2 weeks, and they're playing at home. You got to go West Coast for Tampa. Yeah, you know, guys that might have COVID. I like the Rams.
Vikings getting 2 from Seattle in mini.
Yeah, I know you're on the Vikings here. It does feel like kind of a trap game, because Minnesota has been bad so far, but they've been, you know, a couple of tight games. The one against Arizona was back and forth. They almost won it. I still, though, I'm going Seattle to win this game.
And then Sunday night, Packers-Niners, San Fran laying 3.
San Fran has no running backs. I'm going Green Bay.
Wow, there you go. When we come back, we'll talk to Jerry Hinnan. Such a badass. He just absolutely is a monster in the block.
I just want to feel my burger finger.
You're so money and you don't even know it.
So Syracuse ended up beating Liberty tonight, 24-21 at the Carrier Dome. Wake Forest blew out Virginia and Charlottesville, 37-17. Charlotte, 42-39 over Middle Tennessee. And UNLV stunning Fresno right now with 3 minutes left in the second, 14-3. They just lost their quarterback, though. UNLV, I think he kind of hurt his knee for sure. They basically carried him off the field. Jerry Hinnan is our college football insider. It's good to have him back on the bench to talk about college football tomorrow and see what he thinks of all these games. We've been talking about him already tonight. Mafia gave us his looks in terms of the action he's going with. Let's see what Jerry thinks. How you been, Jerry?
I have been doing great, Scott. It is fall. The college football is happening, you know, not just on Saturdays, but like we had a good game last night with App State. We've had a nice night of football tonight. I'm a big Dave Clawson fan. I enjoyed seeing Wake Forest go to Charlottesville and really put the hammer down on Virginia. Like, that game was not close. I know Dave Clawson is not going to be hired by USC because, you know, they're going to hire somebody much sexier. But Dave Clawson deserves to coach a big name team. Like, that guy has succeeded everywhere he's been as a head coach. What he's doing at Wake is just super impressive. So that was fun seeing that happen tonight.
I mean, they kicked their ass.
Yeah, it was beat down really, you know, from start to finish. You know, UVA pulled within 10, like in the second or early third or something like that. 6 sacks for Wake Forest tonight on the road at Virginia. They go in there. I mean, that's the thing. Like, this didn't happen at Wake. This was in Charlottesville. I mean, you know, Rocco Mendenhall has done some good things there, but if you are at home on a Friday night and you are getting your rear end handed to you in a box by Wake Forest at home, that it's a really bad loss. 20 points, 37-17 is the final. I'm not real happy with Mr. Mendenhall right now if I'm a Virginia fan.
Yeah, because I don't think he's done anything in Virginia. He hasn't. I mean, the bottom line is they're going backwards.
Yeah, they had some win some, what was it, last year? They beat somebody. Was it Stanford that came out there, like, all the way, and they had one of those, like, kicks that was, like, at 11 a.m. or something, and, you know, like, it was, like, 9 a.m. Stanford time or something, and they won. They haven't been terrible. They beat North Carolina last year. Like, that was, I think, their big, you know, win. They were at home, won that game, you know, when Mack Brown had UNC kind of, you know, in the top 20 or whatever. But as for anything, like, impressive, no. I think if you're UVA, you know, I don't know if he's, like, I'm not plugged in enough to what Virginia fans think to say, oh, well, he's definitely on the hot seat or whatever. But this was not good. This was really, really not good at all.
So you talked about Mack Brown and North Carolina. I think a lot of people thought they were going to be better than they are. They're ranked 21st. They're playing at Georgia Tech tomorrow. And Sam Howell, I know a lot of teams, Steelers being one of them, have gone down to Chapel Hill to watch him work out and gone to their practices, and they're high on him. But his first game, he had 3 interceptions. They haven't really done anything. They're 2-1. They're playing at Georgia Tech. And you saw the game that Ramblin' Wreck gave Clemson last week. What do you think North Carolina does on the road there tomorrow?
I think they're going to win that game. Georgia Tech, they're still the same team that lost to Northern Illinois to start the season. Northern Illinois is not good. They were not expected to be good. Michigan's looked good so far, but Michigan absolutely steamrolled them. You know, they scored, you know, 21 points in that loss to Northern Illinois. They scored, you know, obviously Clemson's a fantastic defense, one of the best in the country, but they scored 8 against the Tigers. You know, I don't think Georgia Tech is great. I think that was more of a case of maybe, you know, Clemson's offense is just really, really struggling right now. We saw that against Georgia. I think Howell, you know, he is definitely, I think this happens sometimes with some of these quarterbacks who get the sort of NFL hype. They come in, you know, we kind of saw it with Josh Allen. Like, if you remember his senior year at Wyoming, the reason so many people were, you know, college football folks were down on him coming into the draft, was that his senior year there at Wyoming, he just really didn't stand out. Trubisky, even when he was at North Carolina, his senior year, you know, his last year at North Carolina, I think he may have been a junior, was not great. I think just sort of this hype that surrounds some of these really sort of pro-bound quarterbacks, where we start talking about them in these sorts of first-round terms, is just not really, you know, they don't seem to be necessarily in the best focused state of mind for these games. And, yeah, Howell was bad against Virginia Tech. They lost that game 17-10. Virginia Tech, I don't think, is great. Like, they lost to a, you know, okay, decent. They were on the road at West Virginia last week, but that was not really a great loss. They were the favorites in that game. You know, I think North Carolina is going to beat Georgia Tech because I don't think Georgia Tech is very good themselves, despite the close call with Clemson. But, you know, you look down the schedule, you know, you see Notre Dame, you see Wake Forest there, who we just talked about, at Pitt. You know, I think North Carolina's got still a lot to prove this season, and, you know, I don't see a top 20, top 25 team at this time. Maybe they'll prove me wrong. Maybe they blow Georgia Tech out of the water this weekend. You know, maybe they go on the road to South Bend and beat Notre Dame in a few weeks. And, you know, then we'll say, yeah, you know, this team was deserving of, you know, their early ranking. But right now I'm not seeing it.
So let me ask you about Ohio State and Clemson. I think they both don't deserve to be in the conversation anymore for the college football playoff. I think they both suck. I think Ohio State's defense is a disaster. We're going to see their backup quarterbacks tomorrow. Stroud's not playing. Clemson can barely beat anybody. Are they finally going to start looking like the team they're supposed to be every year? Because I don't think either one should be in the conversation for a playoff right now.
No, I don't think Clemson's offense has done enough for anyone to say. You know, it's a little bit frustrating because they might get in there, because Clemson's schedule is infuriating. It is just infuriating. Like, these are their road games: North Carolina State, Syracuse, Pitt. That's probably the toughest road game they're going to play this year, at Pitt, at Louisville, at South Carolina. Maybe the toughest game on the schedule, again, is home against Wake Forest, given how Wake has looked, you know. And so there's a really good chance that they are going to finish 11-1 and win the ACC. I still do not think in any universe that should be enough to get them into the college football playoff. Previous years, I would say, okay, sure. Like, you know, even though the ACC, you know, has definitely taken several steps back, they have done more than taken several steps back. As a conference, the ACC has fallen down a flight of stairs the last 2 years, with Florida State and Miami, the way, you know, those programs have went. You know, but in past years, it's like, okay, they go out, they blow out most of the teams that they play. We know that they have the talent, especially there at quarterback, you know, whether it's Watson, whether it's Lawrence, whether it's whoever. And you say, okay, well, even though, you know, their resume is crap, they haven't played, you know, anybody outside of these one or two games. Last year, they even lost to Notre Dame. You know, you say, well, we're going to give them the benefit of the doubt because they're Clemson. We know they have the talent. They've beaten most of these teams the way they should. I do not see it so far this year. Not, you know, scoring 3 points against Georgia in a neutral site. Again, you know, the Dogs have maybe the best defense in the country. They're right in that conversation. But 3 points, even worse, scoring 8 points. 14 points. They allowed eight. Scored 14 points at home against Georgia Tech. DJ Uiagalelei just has not looked good at all. A great number from Bill Connolly this week. Pointed out in the article, he has hit 9 of 25 of his throws further than 10 yards downfield. Now, that's not like, you know, if we're talking about 30-yard bombs or something, okay, 9 of 25, oh, you're doing okay. 10 yards downfield, like, we're just talking about throws past the sticks, and he's 9 of 25 for the season. That includes a game against South Carolina State. That's a subpar FCS team. He has just not been good at all. The offense has been garbage. If they finish 11-1, unless they just get on a tear and blow everybody else out, I just don't see that they're going to have the resume for me to say, you know, this is not the Trevor Lawrence team. This is not a Deshaun Watson team. This is the 2021 Clemson Tigers. And unless they show us a heck of a lot more than they've shown us these first 3 weeks, no, I would agree. I don't think they would belong in the college football playoff conversation.
And respectfully, I have 1 minute. What about Ohio State?
Well, they got eviscerated by Oregon's offense. That was a joy to watch if you're the sort of person who's been waiting for Ohio State to kind of fall the last 2 years. I don't see him running the table. After that, they're probably going to have to go perfect, I think, to get into the playoff. Michigan's looked very good. I know they're always going to beat Michigan. But Penn State, I think, is a very talented team. There's some other sort of pitfalls on that schedule. Not this week against Akron. I don't think they're good enough, but I've doubted Ohio State before and been wrong. So I like their chances better than I do Clemson in terms of, like, how legit are they. But their schedule is so much tougher, it just makes it a lot harder to project them into the playoff.
Right, so we'll, they're playing Akron tomorrow, and I would just as soon be hit by a truck than go watch Akron play Ohio State. When we come back, we'll talk to Jerry Hinton about all the other big games: Notre Dame, Wisconsin, A&M, Arkansas, Rutgers, Michigan, UCLA, Stanford, Tennessee, Florida, Nebraska, Michigan State. It's Pharrell on a bench.
May or may not be a good Sports Grid listener.
Test yourself.
If you've ever panicked at realizing you've lost your lucky troll doll, you may not be a good Sports Grid listener. Sports gaming strategies and info. This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
I got the thumper going, Mafia. I got a little scapula pull going after balling and lifting, and something kit popped out. I'm in agony. Oh, God, I got it going, though. You can see the thumper. I got it working. Anyway, we're talking to Jerry Hinton, our college football insider. Jerry, Oklahoma and West Virginia and Norman on Saturday. I haven't been impressed with this football team either. They barely win their games. They're laying 17. I know they've owned West Virginia of late in this series.
Yeah, I think if this game was in Morgantown, it'd be really interesting. I think Jarrett Daigie's done a lot of good things as West Virginia's quarterback so far this year. I like their coach. I like Neil Brown. They're just a well-coached team. There's a reason they beat Virginia Tech last week. Going to Norman, I think, is going to be too tall an order to actually pull off the upset. 17 strikes me as a lot, but I think that sort of is an indication of, still where the sort of relative talent level of these two programs is. Spencer Rattler, did not look great against Nebraska. He has not looked good this year. The defense didn't look good against Tulane in week one. This is one of those where, yeah, I agree, Oklahoma has not looked great. But they haven't looked terrible. I think they're going to win the game. I just don't know if it's going to be 17 points worth of win the game.
So Tennessee and Florida are playing at the Swamp. How did you think the Gators did against Alabama, and how do you think they'll do against the Vols?
They were phenomenal against Alabama. I was expecting, the usual savage, beatdown. And, Florida, I have not seen a team run the ball on Alabama like that. I think since Ohio State did it in the, very first playoff all those years ago, before they won the national championship against Oregon, Florida ran it down their throat in the second half. And I really think if they don't miss that extra point early in the game, don't have to go for too late, that game goes into overtime and Florida wins it. That was how well they played, and how impressive that running game was. Tennessee, I think, has found something in their backup quarterback. His name is Hendon Hooker. He came off the bench against Pitt, led a late comeback. It fell a little bit short. Looked very good against the Patsy last week. I think he is enough of an X factor that this game might be interesting. But I think Florida is going to be angry that they lost that game last week. It was a game they easily could have won, even though it was against Alabama. They're at home. I feel like Dan Mullen has his offense doing Dan Mullen offense things behind Emory Jones. Anthony Richardson may also be available to play there. Sort of other, very strong running quarterback. I like Florida a lot. I think they're probably going to cover the 11. I just couldn't rule that out now that Tennessee's made this quarterback change. We'll see how well Hooker does down there in the Swamp. If he has a really great game, maybe they stay inside the number. I don't think, I could call the upset, though. I think Florida's got too much for the Vols.
Nebraska and Michigan State and East Lansing. I had Michigan State winning in Miami at Hard Rock against the Canes, who I think really suck. But there's, this number's at 4.5. I have the sneaking suspicion this could be an upset with Nebraska. Everybody thinks Michigan State's unbeatable all of a sudden. Do you think they'll handle the Huskers?
This is one where if it was in Lincoln, I might lean towards Nebraska. Everybody saw that opening week game against Illinois where they looked so awful. They've been better since then. They haven't been great. Michigan State's 3-0, looked very good against Miami. Hadn't looked, they looked pretty good the first couple of weeks too. Beat Northwestern on the road 38-21. I think they're still a better team than Nebraska. I think I don't think Nebraska's as bad as, people just sort of wrote them off after that Illinois loss. They're not that bad. They're still going to give some teams in the Big Ten some trouble. If this game was in Lincoln, I would like the Huskers. But Michigan State, I think, overall is just playing a little bit too well. Like I said, looked pretty good at Northwestern, looked good at Miami, even accounting for the fact that, the Hurricanes are what was the word you said? I think they sucked. Scott was actually being polite about the situation. Despite that, I think you still have to give Michigan State some credit for that. With the game in East Lansing, I think the Spartans take that one.
Do you think Miami will fire Manny Diaz if they keep losing?
Do they have I want to ask you, Scott, do they have the money to fire Manny Diaz is the question. Because, losing to Alabama is one thing. Losing at home by 21 points to Michigan State, beating Appalachian State at home by 2 points. Again, the ACC is so forgiving. I don't know if I see any game on the schedule other than maybe at North Carolina where I say Miami's going to be like a meaningful underdog. So they can still get to 8-4, maybe even 9-3, despite the suckiness. you know, but is that good enough? They're not competing at the level that I know Miami can compete at, that we all know Miami can compete at. You know, I feel like it's one of these situations where do the people who have the money, are they upset as the people, you know, with the money in Auburn last year where they took Gus Malzahn and said, well, you know, yeah, you've won a lot of games. You haven't had any losing seasons. You've been okay, but no, that's enough. We're going to send you on your way. You know, the thing that Florida State boosters did a couple ago where they had just hired Willie Taggart and they paid to get him out the door and hired Mike Norvell instead. You know, it's that kind of situation. Do I think the Hurricanes can do better than Manny Diaz? On the basis of last week, yeah, I sure think they can. You know, is it going to happen this year? You know, and how much money is it going to cost? I think those are sort of the relevant questions.
So Norvell, he's all he does is lose in Tallahassee. If they lose again, I mean, at some point, are they just going to fire him? You cannot go to your job in Tallahassee with Florida State Seminole football and lose every single game on your schedule and keep your job. I don't care how many coaches they've hired and fired in the last 3 or 4 years. It's been a complete embarrassment what's happened with their college football program. All I know is there's no way you can tell me that guy survives if he keeps losing.
No. They're 0-3. Hopefully they can beat UMass at home. Like, I would really hope, you know, that they play at Boston College. Maybe that's a winnable game. I mean, they'll pick up some wins here, but man alive, even getting to like 5-7 is going to be a long haul. You know, you start 0-3, you lose to Jacksonville State, you get blown away at home to Wake Forest. They don't have some of these, you know, easy ACC schedules that some of these other teams we've been talking about. They got to go to UNC, they got to go to Clemson, and then they finish the season by playing at Florida. At this point, you got to assume those are three L's right there. So you're starting sort of 0-6 and hoping maybe you can, you know, pick up 4 or 5 of the other ones. Again, this is a situation where, you know, forget going through your couch for, you know, the loose change there. We're going to have the FSU boosters with the metal detectors out at the beach, seeing if we can track down some coins and rings under the sand to try to, you know, buy out Mike Norvell's contract if we keep doing what we're doing here. Again, the schedule's just soft enough that maybe they make a bowl game and he sticks around, but he's in a ton of trouble. That Jacksonville State game, the FSU folks were mad. They were big mad. If you heard the radio call, the color guy slamming his headset down after, you know, Jack State hit the Hail Mary to win. You know, things are unhappy down there. The quarterback situation is a mess. It's again, you know, for someone who grew up, you know, in the 80s and 90s when Miami and FSU, like, that was the game every year. To see what's happening at both of these programs simultaneously, it's tough. Like, this is not what the ACC is supposed to be. The ACC is supposed to be Clemson and Florida State and Miami duking it out every year, you know, these epic showdowns, and it's just not happening. It hasn't happened, you know, ever really, since, you know, they added FSU and Miami way back when. It's extremely frustrating, and, you know, I really, this is why, you know, I try not to harp too much on coaching jobs, but, like, you know, this is not good enough for these programs, what Norvell and what Diaz are doing right now, for these two programs. As a neutral college football fan, I want these programs to be better.
Yeah, no doubt. And I'm a Canes fan. I can't even take it anymore. I was going to order all new Canes gear this year because my stuff had gotten old, my T-shirts and my jerseys and stuff. And then I just told the guy, forget it. I was like, just forget it. I'm not spending any money on new Canes garb. They're embarrassing. Michigan and Rutgers tomorrow in the Big House. That number's pretty big at 20 and a hook.
It is. Greg Schiano, man. I mean, Rutgers has had a good start to the season. If you watch this game, you got to keep your eye on a Rutgers linebacker. His name is Olakunle Fatukasi. I think I've got that right. He is the Big Ten's leading tackler last year. He is going to play on Sundays. He is a fantastic player, and I am really looking forward. Michigan, you know, they have run all over everybody. The problem is that everybody that they've played is awful. Well, I mean, you know, they're not that bad. Like, by MAC standards, Northern Illinois did beat Georgia Tech. Western Michigan, actually, I was shocked when they beat Pitt last week. And then they played Washington, who on paper is good. In practice, they lost to Montana. I watched that game. Washington's offense is an absolute disaster. So, you know, full credit to Michigan for taking care of their business, you know, the way they have. Corum, their running back, I think is spectacular. He's averaging like 8.5 yards a carry or something ridiculous. But this, I think, is going to be easily the best team that they've played. Again, Ulukunle, you know, the linebacker, is really great. I want to see how he impacts this Michigan running game that's been great. Can they force Michigan's quarterback, Cade McNamara, to be the slightest bit uncomfortable, which he has not been yet this year? Again, I think Greg Schiano, you know, I know a lot of people don't like him, you know, just for whatever reason, but he did a great job at Rutgers the first time. He's doing a good job. He just seems to fit there. It's a fascinating, you know, it's about as fascinating as a 20.5-point game can be. Is Michigan for real? How real is Rutgers? You know, both of these teams are kind of question marks coming into this game. I don't know. I would lean towards Michigan being able to cover the way they've played so far. But I like Shiano's coaching enough, I wouldn't feel good about it, put it that way.
So I read a story about Rutgers athletic department, and that, like, they're literally like $200 million in debt. Like, they're just literally out of their minds. They've overspent and overdone things, and they're in deep trouble with the state and with banks and with everything else. The athletic department's in shambles. I got 60 seconds. Who do you like in Notre Dame, Wisconsin at Soldier Field?
I like Wisconsin. Notre Dame has the better quarterback in Jack Cohen, which is funny because he's a Wisconsin transfer. He's better than the quarterback I think Wisconsin's got. But that's about the only advantage I think Notre Dame really has. I like Wisconsin's defense a lot. Notre Dame hasn't run the ball well enough so far this year. I like Wisconsin. I think it's going to be close, but I like Wisconsin.
Well, Jerry, it's great catching up. I'm sure we'll do it again really soon and go through the college football scene for the weekend. I always enjoy having you on. It's should be a great day again tomorrow. Thanks for coming on the bench tonight, brother. We'll be in touch.
Absolutely. Lock of the week, 47.5, the under on Texas A&M and Arkansas. Both those defenses are awesome. I don't trust their quarterbacks. That would be my one pick for this week, Scott. Awesome talking to you. We'll do it again, man.
There he is, A&M and Arkansas, of course, at Jerry's World tomorrow. It should be awesome. When we come back, I'll give you the updated baseball scores late night in the West.
My buddy's a fan of yours in Vancouver, Canada, so he hears you crystal clear. I thought I'd let you know that.
Time after time, I sit and I wait for your call.
All right, don't forget to go to PharrellOnTheBench.com for all the college football, pro football, UFC 266 picks, everything you need for the weekend. You're set up right there. You'll love it. Dodgers lead the Diamondbacks 4-2 in the top of the eighth in Zona. The Mariners have been on fire, coming off a four-game sweep of the A's. They're beating the Angels 4-2, bottom six in Anaheim. The A's, after losing four in a row, are now beating the Astros 3-2, top seven in the Astros in Oakland. The Braves lead the Padres 3-0 in San Diego at Petco, top four. The Yankees beat the Red Sox 8-3. Phillies rallied to beat the Pirates 8-6. A resumption of a suspended game from earlier this summer in July. The Padres beat the Braves 6-5, but that doesn't even matter the way the Padres have played lately. Cardinals won their 13th and 14th games. They took two in the doubleheader from the Cubs at Wrigley. Rangers 8-5 over the Orioles. White Sox 1-0 over the Indians. Royals 3-1 over the Tigers. Rays 8-0 over the Marlins. Reds 8-7 in 11 innings over the Nationals. Brewers 5-1 over the Mets. Giants 7-2 over the Rockies. Twins 3-1 over the Jays. So the Jays fall further back of the Yankees in the wild card, now two deep of the Yankees, who are one deep of the Red Sox. They gain a game on Boston and gain a game on Toronto with their win tonight in Boston and the Jays' loss in Minnesota for the second straight day. So there you go. The Dodgers' lead is 13.5 for the top wild card spot. St. Louis by 5 over Philly, 6 over the Reds. Padres 6.5. You know that they're toast.